It was Ruach in the Old Testament, Pneuma in the New. The words mean wind and spirit. It's a good time for wind instruments on Pentecost, isn't it? The Spirit of the Lord has given us the word for today, which I read from the first part of Peter's sermon. That's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. We'll meditate on those words at this time. We'll bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Holy Spirit, hear us on this sacred day. Grant to us your blessing. Come to us to stay. Amen. In the name of him who loved us, promised and sent his dear Holy Spirit, dear heirs, beneficiaries of Pentecost. One of the greatest problems confronting Christ's church today is that we forget we are an army. You heard the Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel 37, the brilliant picture there, but we forget about this. And yet our Lord Jesus said those beautiful words of comfort in the gospel lesson from John 14, the last verse, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Is it a war, or is it peace? We can get some help from the insert today, our Wells Together insert, from those who have stood between us and evil and the armed forces protecting our freedom. There was a retreat for PTSD, and there are quotes here that I'm going to read, but you'll want to go back and look at this and remember this in your prayers. From one of the veterans at this retreat, "My veteran buddy and I meet once a week. Each time we walk away with the same assignments. I am responsible for seeing to it that he stays alive for a week, and he is to make sure that I am still among the living 7 days from now." Sometimes what's going on inside the soul goes physical. Because the average suicide rate among American military veterans is 1 per hour. Every day of the year. One attendee at this PTSD retreat commented, "Surviving the war is just the beginning. Now we must survive the peace." Surviving the peace as part of our problem is the army of the Lord. It happens over and over again when the Lord grants his peace to the sin-tormented soul. That peace comes as the world cannot give. And our natural reaction, sit back, relax, take life easy, until we are back in the war zone and we don't even know it. Because the old enemy wants to lull that army to sleep so that wind is no longer being heard. Think about it. Those veterans have to meet once a week to keep each other alive. What happens if God's army stops meeting once a week? They call it sated with grace, so satisfied with God's love and his peace, that pretty soon it's easy to get distracted by other things. Do you ever catch yourself being really happy about something, and then you have to just pull back a little bit and say, you know, the reason I can enjoy this is because I have God's peace. Now go enjoy it. But remember where that peace comes from, because without it, nothing would be real. Nothing would make sense. You could just sleep in, go through all your life, and you could not survive the peace. The dear Holy Spirit comes on this blessed day to help us not just be surviving the peace, but to take this PTSD and turn it from what would tragically destroy our souls so quickly into a positive, because he loves to do that. Surviving the peace means, first of all, looking at the Holy Spirit's blessing of prophecy. Ever hear the expression, semper fi? Oh, you all have. Semper fidelis. I know, it's Latin. It means always faithful. Motto of U.S. Marine Corps. Semper fi. You want to talk about faithful? Nobody has made more promises than God. Think about it. And every promise he makes sounds strange and impossible when he first says it. And then he keeps on reminding people that he said it. And then when he finally brings it to fulfillment, it's 100 times more amazing than when he first said it. So in the beginning, that dreadful enemy whose name means enemy, in that serpent, Satan, he said it first to him, the seed of the woman will crush your head. 4500 BC, about. Fast forward to 2200 BC. This man who was childless at 75 was still childless at almost 100 when God finally kept the promise. But he said to Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Fast forward again, 700 BC. Wicked King Ahaz, I will not ask for, I taught the kids to stomp their foot when they said that in the Christmas service. I will not ask for a sign. No, stubborn king, God more stubborn. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Remember that? The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Emmanuel. 700 years later, what may have been a fairly middle-aged bachelor, very disappointed in his fiance, the child she was carrying was not his, you know the story. An angel came and said, she is still your virgin fiance. What is conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. This is the fulfillment of that promise. The virgin will be with child. Call him Jesus. He's the Savior. That, my friends, is semper fi. That is faithfulness in promises no one else could make. And none of the disciples even wanted to hear about, as Jesus kept saying how that would be fulfilled on the cross in his death. And it didn't seem like they even heard him say, on the third day he will rise. Did you catch that, Peter rebuking Jesus? And then you've got to expect faithfulness in the promise, the semper fi again, when he says, go wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. I'm going away, but the Comforter, the Counselor will come. Faithfulness to his promise. He said it would happen, and so it happened in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound like the rushing of a violent ruach, the pneuma, the wind, it came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw divided tongues that were like fire resting on each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, since the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak. God always keeps his promises. And when he does, it is spectacular. But he's always building on top of our tragedy. The PT. SD, the tragedy, this war between sinners and the holy God who created them holy, but then they rebelled. One of the worst battles between humankind and their creator happened at a tower when he said, scatter over the face of the earth after Noah's flood. They basically said, no, we're staying here. We're working together to be as great as God. Does that sound like the beginning? Oh, eat the fruit. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now we'll be as great as God. They're building. Tower going. What did it take? God came down and confused their languages. He didn't just mess up the vocables, the words. The whole sentence structure is all turned around. And they couldn't work together anymore. They had to scatter, as he said. That was the curse of Babel. And the problem then for humankind was that after that, when the message rang out of the seed of the woman that would crush the serpent's head, there was always this language barrier, a problem that had to be overcome over all those centuries. So God used children's lessons, picture language. In that nation that he put on that little bitty strip of land about the size of the state of New Jersey, between the Mediterranean Sea and the desert, so all the commerce had to go through that land. And there was God's holy people in his temple, and they had a calendar that was their church year. And their calendar was a teaching tool. So their Passover started the year when they sacrificed the innocent lamb. Then they were to count off seven sevens. Get that number. 7 weeks of seven to the 50th day, which is Penti. And they had a Pentecost festival. It was the spring harvest festival. And God commanded his people to bring the first fruits of your grain, of your new wine. Bring it to the Lord to honor the God who is your creator and gives you this, but to say in faith, we know, God, you've got lots more for us, and we will worship you through this summer until finally we have the full harvest in the fall, another festival. First fruits. Does that ring a bell? For a moment, just everybody close your eyes. Pretend you fell asleep. Who is the first fruits of those who sleep? Who is the first fruits of those who sleep? Think of Easter. Open your eyes. Jesus came alive again. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, he is the first fruits of those who sleep, and all those loved ones who have gone before us will rise again because he's the first fruits, and that always means that more will follow. And when the Holy Spirit says, you have the Holy Spirit in your hearts through this word-powered water of baptism and his holy supper, the bread and wine with the word, and the word of God proclaimed and remembered, the Holy Spirit is first fruits in your heart. That means more is coming. The peace and the joy that you feel now at your best times is nothing compared to what God will put on you when it's all fulfilled in the full harvest, Feast of Tabernacles, when we tent with God in heaven. And you see why the Lord tells his church today, bring the first fruits of your offerings to the Lord. Bring him the first and the best. Don't let us just be your words, but be like your Creator who is so generous and gives you all this, and say with your offerings, God, I know that what you've given me is only a small portion of what you intend. Let me be generous, happy, and joyful in my offerings to make this real. And then watch for the harvest, because there's more blessings coming than just the money that we put in the plate. There's priceless blessings you can't buy in the store of peace, patience, kindness, and love. And the Lord comes with these blessings, and all these people there on Pentecost from all these nations, you don't even have to know where all of them are, but they're all around the Mediterranean world. It's like the whole world came to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And God was saying, curse of Babel, reversed. I will teach those languages. Even these Galilean fishermen who never studied them will just speak it. And Paul said, I spoke in tongues, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Paul had that gift wherever he went. Luke records in the book of Acts not just words he was saying in other languages, but the dialects were right in all the different places as Luke recorded them in the book of Acts. It is really phenomenal in the original Greek. Dialects are correct. That means just the differences in the way people might speak English. You know, Texas has a different dialect than Minnesota. It's just a fact. So the tragedy is turned to the blessing. And the PT needs the S Because people will look at this awesome wonder and say, are you kidding me? They're only drinking. They're full of new wine. I'm glad Peter was preaching. You know, you just don't pull this over on a fisherman. These guys, you know, these are hardworking men. They know. It's only 9 in the morning. Come on. It's a joke, I think. Give them time, you know. They're not drunk. This is something else. This is a promise that the Lord had made. And he always keeps his promise. You realize this was Peter who said, Jesus, never you, when Jesus said he would be crucified and rise again on the third day. And Jesus had to say to this disciple, get behind me, Satan. Now this disciple has been given the courage to speak up and very clearly proclaim, that is, preach. God kept his promise. He sent his son to be our Savior. He washed away my sin. Everybody sees and knows this story about Peter. He washed my sin away, and he's good enough for all of you too. Nobody's sin is so bad that it's not washed away by the blood of God's own Son. So don't be so arrogant and proud about your sins. This drives people to depression. Judas took his own life, bless you. Judas took his own life because he thought his sin was too bad for God to forgive. Think about it. No. Not your sin, not my sin, not the whole world's sin. God heaped it all on Jesus, took it all away, and God kept his promise so that the prophecy, the tragedy, would have a Savior, Jesus Christ, and he promised that there would be Pentecost. There would be PTSD deliverance. That deliverance Peter preached about when he went on in the sermon, I just want to summarize the last of it. You probably know this part better than the other. Peter told them after all these centuries of waiting, you crucified your own Messiah. And it says they were cut to the heart. They asked the question, men, brothers, what must we do? And he tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. We're about as far off as people could be in those days. Fly to Israel sometime and see how far it is. People on the far side of the world will hear this message and worship someday because the promise is for you and your children. Repent and be baptized. And it's a blessing poured out on the children. Deliverance. And we need that deliverance because this promise will also come true that we are in the last days that the Lord was talking about here. And Peter said in this very vivid language, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. It will turn to blood. This is Joel's prophecy before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. That judgment day is coming. But this last promise, pleading from the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on his name. Ask for his blessing. Ask for his divine peace. Some of you may feel, as you think about veterans, that sort of dark cloud could never come over you. That feeling of just helplessness and hopelessness that goes on day after day and nothing seems to be able to cut through, that you would never have that experience. I hope you never do. But every Christian goes through those valleys. There are those valleys in your life, and there are people suffering from that now, and God wants us to carry them in our hearts in prayer to God. So that when you hear about the challenges that our veterans face, or whoever it may be, the challenges of mental illness, don't pass that off as if you somehow are better off, because God may lead you through or let you go through a valley like David. You know, when he committed adultery and tried to cover it up with murder and then prayed Psalm 51 as the children sang today and then we sang those verses. That's Psalm 51. But did you catch Joel's early part of the prophecy? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. That means they will preach. And it's okay if they're singing when they do it or crying out amen in a service. It happens. And the old men will dream dreams and the young men visions, or the other way around, on sons and daughters, men and women, the Holy Spirit poured out to prophesy. You are doing that with your friends, dear sisters in Christ. No, the Lord doesn't want it in a public assembly. Not to have the authority over the men in the preaching. But among women, oh yes. Let loose. Speak it loudly and as clearly as you can. Because you also prophesy. And it says in one of the Psalms, great was the number of the, and it's female there, the females who prophesied. Like Miriam singing, you know, after the Lord delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and she and the other women are singing out. And I just want you to know something that happened behind the scenes today. As wonderful as this service is, in our staff meeting, Pastor Gavrish said that he had sent out an email about available musicians, and 10 responses came back, yes. Just think about that. That's the Holy Spirit at work. And you see the little kids come up here, and they're singing their hearts out. Where I was sitting, I noticed the boys here, and some of them have some really good voices. And when you started singing, they made sure they cranked it up because they were leading. Did you notice that? Praise God for those voices. Praise God for the work of the Holy Spirit in children's hearts, because that means that this message will go on and more will hear the wonderful works of God. We want it for veterans. We want it for everyone we know. We want it for our children and their friends too. It is our prayer today, Pentecost, for all. In Jesus' precious name, amen.